Welcome once again to Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community here on WCOM LP Chapel Hill in Carrboro. This is Ernie Hood. I am a freelance science writer, and each week here on the program, we bring you cutting-edge information about what's going on in science here in the Triangle area, one of the world's leading hubs of scientific research and development. You can email us at radioinvivo@earthlink.net, and you can access a full archive of all of our past programs at radioinvivo.net. Radio In Vivo is underwritten by the National Evolutionary Synthesis Center in Durham. NESENT is a nonprofit science center dedicated to cross-disciplinary research in evolution. NESENT is a collaborative effort of Duke University, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and North Carolina State University, and is sponsored by the National Science Foundation. Radio In Vivo is also underwritten by the North Carolina Association for Biomedical Research. Since it was founded in 1989, the NCABR has been fulfilling its mission to promote public understanding and support for bioscience research and careers. To learn more about the benefits of bioscience for the future of North Carolina, visit NCABR's homepage, www.ncabr.org, and its clearinghouse of bioscience resources, www.aboutbioscience.org. Radio In Vivo is also underwritten by Moorhead Planetarium and Science Center at UNC Chapel Hill. Moorhead's monthly Current Science Forum series presents expert speakers and lively discussions of today's science headlines. Moorhead Planetarium and Science Center is online at moorheadplanetarium.org. WCOM and Radio In Vivo thank this terrific group of underwriters for their support. Well, we are here to, as we often do on Radio In Vivo, talk about the subject of science education and the importance of educating our children in science and getting them excited about potentially entering scientific careers or just being good, informed young people and citizens about the importance of science to our world and our society continues. And if anything, it's becoming more and more important in light of current events. So one of the vehicles for that here in the state over the last several decades, actually, has been an organization called North Carolina Science Olympiad. And they have quite an extensive program, and I'll let my guest fill us in on all that. It's working with young people from K through 12 throughout the state of North Carolina. And they sponsor tournaments, and we'll get all the details from my guest, Jason Painter. And Jason is the executive director of North Carolina Science Olympiad. And their big annual event is coming up shortly, so that was one of the reasons for getting Jason here on the program today. And he has a BS and an MA from East Carolina University, and he is currently working on his PhD at UNC Chapel Hill, and I understand is hoping to have that completed before the year is out. He has been in his current position as executive director of North Carolina Science Olympiad since 2006. Jason, welcome to Radio In Vivo.
Thanks, Ernie. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
To get us started, just to give us a little bit of background about North Carolina Science Olympiad, I was just amazed at how extensive an organization it is.
Sure. The North Carolina Science Olympiad, actually the entire Olympiad, was born here in North Carolina at St. Andrews Presbyterian College back in 1974. Mm-hmm. And back then it was not quite as extensive as it is today. I think probably about
imagine
about 15 schools participated on that day. But it brought mainly then high schools together to compete in a variety of events in all the different areas of science. And over the years, it continued to grow and become bigger and caught the attention of some of who are now the national Olympiad leaders. But it's continued to grow.
So it is now a national organization.
It is now a national organization.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm the leader of the state organization. And in, I'd say probably in the last 15 years, we've really, as a grassroots organization, began to grow all over the state. Currently, We have right at 600 teams this year. That represents about 10,000 students across the state of North Carolina. We're actually in 64 counties. Our goal is to get in all 100 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And we do K-12. What we try to do is create tournaments all across the state, where it's almost like I kind of think of it as a track meet for kids that are interested in science and technology and engineering and solving problems and challenges. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we write rules and that are based on a lot of different science topics that kids study in their academic programs in their schools. And we release those rules in the beginning of the year, and we get it out to teachers and to schools, and the kids practice throughout the year. And so in track, you have kids that specialize in the high jump or the javelin throw or something like that, or the shot put. In Science Olympiad, kids will specialize in forensics or tower building or cell biology or junkyard challenge. We have a lot of great building events. We have a lot of lab events, lab-oriented events. We have a lot of content events.
Mm-hmm.
If kids are interested in birds, for example, they could do our ornithology event. And so we really have over 65 events in the K-12 events that we do have. And so pretty much any interest that someone's interested in, they can do. But mm-hmm. what they do is they prepare throughout the year, sometimes in school, because our events are part of the curriculum, but also in after-school programs. They prepare to come and compete as a team against all the other teams in the area. And so it's not much different than what we saw the other night in the NCAAs. Kids are excited about for their team. We see the same sort of excitement at these tournaments. Kids are excited. They deck themselves out. They paint their faces. They have a lot of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great time. And they prepare throughout the year to come and compete for their team. And they come and compete in those events that they've prepared for. And depending on how well they do in each of their events, will ultimately determine a team score. And so we have, for the middle and high schools, we have 11 middle school and high school tournaments across the state. We take approximately the best 45 teams from the middle school and the best 45 teams from the high school from across the state, and those teams move on to the state tournament, the ones that do the best at their regions. And there they come to the state tournament, which is coming up at the end of the month, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about later.
Sure.
And they're going to, you know, this is the best science talent in our state.
So the model really then is that the kids compete. You liken it to a track meet, and I
right.
think that's an apt analogy. Kids compete on an individual basis and can actually get awards and things like that as individuals, but then the teams are accumulated.
Exactly. So let's just take the middle school competition. There are 23 events. Mm-hmm. There are 18 students that can be on a middle school team. And so of those 18 students, they have to cover all 23 events. And so for each one of the events, up to two students can compete in any one event, and they compete as a team.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple events where we actually have three students that can compete.
Okay.
But and so the day is really split up in time periods, four time periods. So we'll have four or five events each time period. And so the kids in each time period will go to that event and compete on behalf of their school in that event. And so very much like a track meet where you have somebody compete in, you know, the high jump. And it's how well they do in that event. So they can win individual medals. And depending on the size of the tournament, sometimes we go out to six, seven places. But they're able to earn medals as individuals in that event.
Mm-hmm.
And then if their team does well, they move on to the state tournament. Also, if a team, you know, one or two students from that school at the regional tournament gets first place overall at that regional tournament, but for some reason their team does not qualify for the state tournament, we actually invite that pair to come to the state tournament to compete in that event that they place first overall. So we actually get a first place overall state champion.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we're not excluding those students that maybe because their team was small or the other team just didn't do as well that day, they're still able to come and compete for their school.
Well, that's terrific that you do it that way.
You know,
and that way you're getting a little bit away from the hyper-competitiveness.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think
you're still getting the best of the best too.
Right. And if you come to our tournaments, you'll see the kids are terrific. They clap for each other. They cheer for each other. Mm-hmm. That's not a cutthroat type competitiveness. It's really professional. It's very collegial. The schools really respect one another. And it is a great atmosphere. And I would encourage you, anytime you get a chance to go, we'll talk about the state tournament soon. We actually have two elementary tournaments this weekend.
Okay.
In Raleigh area, Raleigh Charter High School, and also at Fred A. Smith. So that's our elementary tournament. And they're really not competitive at all. They're really just a lot of fun. And kids are so excited. It's gratifying to go and see kids excited about science mm-hmm. and about engineering and about solving problems. And, what we see, unfortunately, because I think sports are great, but it really makes, I guess in a way, in sports, we really recognize in a great way the achievements of our kids. And what I love about Olympiad is that we take that same recognition and we get kids that are doing a great job in the classroom and are really excelling in academics, specifically in science, and we recognize them and we mm-hmm. recognize their teachers. And that's what I love about Olympiad, is that we're really putting an emphasis on the importance of science, on technology, on education. Mm-hmm, and that's what I love about it. We're really giving students, a lot of these students wouldn't normally be on a sports team. So these kids are actually getting the team competition. They understand what it is to be on a team, to work on a team.
Sure.
And so a lot of things
if they're going into science is going to come in very handy.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so there's so many skills that they learn through Olympiad that they would not get the opportunity to do that if they did not have an Olympiad team at their school. And again, it's cool. I talked to a kid last weekend and he said, yeah, a lot of kids think it's nerdy, but they've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come out here and they see that, they wish they would have done it.
Sure.
Because of the excitement and because how cool it is. They would wear those medals all week at school when they win it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity for the students and for the teachers. It gets teachers excited about education too.
Well, I look at something like this as you and I are kind of different generations, mine being the older one, unfortunately. But, I think about how I grew up, and I'm a product of a public school education and a good one.
Right.
In the Northeast. And very little science.
Right.
And what did I turn out to become but a science writer? So somewhere I found an affinity for that, but it was really not till an adult life that came through.
Right.
My point being is, what I remember of science from, secondary education was science fair. And like everybody else, making a volcano, the old cliche, but it was really true. And that was pretty much
all there was. Yeah, that's one of the problems.
At least in terms of encouragement.
Right. And what we want to do is give as many students as possible the opportunity to experience the excitement of science
mm-hmm.
and why it's something that they should consider in the future and taking more classes in science. And unfortunately, I think science gets a bad rap sometimes. And a lot of times there's a lot of reasons why that could happen within schools. And sometimes at the elementary level, teachers aren't prepared to teach science in a way. And a lot of times they're scared to teach certain concepts of science because it seems difficult or hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what Olympiad does, it takes it and makes it fun. But it doesn't sacrifice the content. It doesn't sacrifice real science. And that's what I love about Olympiad. And what we need is what you're talking about here is we don't want students to go through school with a negative attitude toward science.
Right.
We want them to have a positive attitude toward science. We want them to know that it's something they can do, that it is something they can be. And that's what we're about as Olympiad. That's our mission, is to get more students involved mm-hmm. in science, technology, engineering, math. We want them to consider degrees at our universities in science. We want them to consider careers in our state in science, technology, engineering. That's our goal. The wider we can cast that net, the greater pipeline we can provide, the better. So that's what our organization's about.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit more about the big event coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Sure. On April 29th and April 30th will be our huge event, our year-ending event for our middle and high schools, which will be the 2011 state tournament. It will be at NC State University. The big day will be Saturday, and most of the events will be at Reynolds Coliseum. So if you're interested in this, please come out to Reynolds Coliseum any time between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., and you'll be able to really see a lot of cool events there. Some of the more fun events are at Reynolds Coliseum. You'll be able to see helicopters. You'll be able to see trebuchets. You'll be able to see some cars the kids built that have to go a certain distance down a track. They don't know how far that's before they get there. You'll see towers there. Not far from there, you'll be able to see a bottle rocket competition. And then there's just a lot of other events that'll be taking place across campus as well that you'll be able to peek in on. But unfortunately, we can't let too many people into those events, or the events don't run very well. And so there's some events we just can't let parents and visitors in. But there's a lot of great events to come see. Mm-hmm. And just to see the number of students, the number of parents that are involved in science. So often we see so many news stories about the deplorable state of education, or about, you know, all the wrong things that this generation is doing. I'm telling you, we got a lot of bright kids in our state. We got a lot of great kids in our state. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those kids are involved in Olympiad. If you want to see excitement, if you want to see a great day of science, if you want to see real enthusiasm for education, for science education, I'd encourage you to come on that day and see that. On Friday, we actually are going to we'll have some really cool things going on for the participants. We do registration that day, but we'll also have the College of Engineering involved doing some things. We'll have something called Nano Days, which introduces the kids to nanotechnology. Kids will be able to go through a lot of the tours of labs at NC State University.
Oh, great.
To see, mm-hmm. you know, what scientists and our researchers at NC State are doing. And again, we're encouraging.
If that doesn't get them excited, nothing will, because there's some pretty exciting stuff going on over there.
That's right. You know, one thing I wanted to mention was a PhD student at NC State last year did a dissertation study, and she interviewed all of I think she interviewed something like 2,000 of the freshman class at NC State. She found that half of those students were involved in some sort of science competition. And so the importance of science competitions cannot go understated. They are really important. And getting your kids to come and see this, to open their eyes, because most of what we think, it's like you said, the volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids, if we asked them in eighth grade what a science would say, it's volcanoes, or it's some science fair project that they did. That, you know, a lot of science fair projects are terrific and wonderful, and they do a great job. But a lot of times they end up being just what they can get in a book, which may be the volcano. But they get to come and see nano labs and see things that they could never imagine, or that schools just aren't able to provide students. And so at NC State, we're hoping, again, broaden their minds and open their eyes to see what's available to them in STEM in the future.
Sure. So how many teams are involved in the state tournament, and roughly how many kids are you expecting altogether?
We're expecting about 150 schools will be represented if we count the first place overall winners. That's approximately 85 full teams will be there, or full schools will be there, and then another 70 or so schools will be represented by the teams that scored first place overall mm-hmm. at the regional tournament. So we're expecting probably around 2,500 students on that day at NC State University. So, you know, we'll probably have about 6,000 participants flooding the campus to be there that day. So it's a really exciting event. A lot of students, a lot of parents, a lot of kids.
That does sound exciting.
A lot of events.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we basically, you know, we're running 46.
All roads lead to NC State.
That's right. We're running 46 events in about a six-hour time period.
Wow.
So I can't understate the importance in this state that we have, which is our volunteer support. This mm-hmm. organization could not run without the support of our volunteers. And so we have about 300 volunteers that have already signed up and registered and are going to help run these events. So the 46 events, they have to be written. It'll take you 30 to 35 hours to write an event. And then, because that event is going to, what's going to be used to judge our teams. You know, we have to rank those teams mm-hmm. 1 to 50, mm-hmm. first place mm-hmm. to 50th place. And so our volunteers are incredible. And we probably have 5,000 volunteers across every tournament. Takes that many volunteers to run. And so it is a massive volunteer effort to run this Olympiad, you know, and that counts our regional directors that spend three or 400 hours a year planning these things. It's mm-hmm. it's a massive undertaking, and the volunteers that we have is just incredible.
Well, that's great to get that kind of hands-on support like that.
That's awesome.
Well, Jason, tell us a little bit more about the organization itself, the North Carolina Science Olympiad. How is it structured? Where does the funding come from? Where do you live?
Okay, sure. The North Carolina Science Olympiad, as I said, was a grassroots organization. For many years, it lived at NC State under the College of Textiles. It was run by a person there, really a guy named Philip Dale, who ran it really basically as a side job, but he wasn't getting paid for it. He did it as a volunteer, too, and spent a lot of hours doing it. When I took over in 2006, I was fortunate to be able to get a partnership agreement with NC State University. And that was worked out with the North Carolina Science Olympiad. We are a 501c3 organization. We have our own board of directors. And so our board of directors was able to enter into a great partnership with NC State University, mm-hmm. which provides half of the funding for my salary plus benefits. And it also provides us a home. It provides us a place. And we are in a great unit called the Science House at NC State University.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. We do outreach to K-12 teachers. Again, we're focused on pre-college education. And so it was a great fit for us as an organization to be put into the Science House. In fact, since we formed that partnership, our membership has doubled. And that's a great problem to have, but at the same time, it's a lot more work. And so the organization continues to grow. In 2007, we actually started the elementary component of our program. Many mm-hmm. of the parents that had middle and high school students said, hey, what about the elementary kids? Why don't we focus on them? And so we started a pilot in Catawba County at the time, one tournament. We had two teams. And this year we're approaching probably 150 teams in elementary. Mm-hmm. And so actually the two tournaments this weekend in Raleigh are elementary tournaments. So we've now increased from that one tournament to six tournaments a year. And I think we'll probably have 8 to 9 elementary tournaments next year. And so we're continuing to grow. We're also going to grow another middle and high school tournament next year as well because of people requesting tournaments in their area. And that's one of the reasons that we've been able to grow, because we go to them. We go and we set up tournaments in areas that don't currently have an Olympiad tournament to try to encourage them. You know, if they don't want to travel 100 miles to come to a tournament, I talked to a coach last weekend that I came from Transylvania County to Catawba. It was a 100-mile drive, and he said, I want to start a tournament in my area next year. Mm-hmm. And that's how we grow. People have a passion for it, and they love it. And so that's how the organization grows. It's on the back of volunteers. And so we have a board of directors that hires me, and I have an assistant who works two-thirds for the Olympiad. She works another third for the Science House. And those are the only paid people on our staff. The rest are our regional directors, which run our middle school and high school and elementary tournaments. They are all unpaid volunteers and donate hundreds of hours of time. Every year I look at them and say, I can't believe you came back. Because we work them to death.
Gluttons for punishment. Huh?
But I do tell them every year I'm going to double their pay. So,
oh, there you go.
They keep coming back, and we're fortunate to have them. Same thing with our board of directors. It's just they're phenomenal. They work hard for this organization, and so we're still working hard. We're still working hard to make a difference in this state for STEM education.
Well, that brings us to the 600-pound gorilla that North Carolina Science Olympiad is threatened at this point, that
yes.
Under the governor's current proposed budget, state funding for the organization is eliminated.
That's
along
right.
with many other nonprofit
right.
organizations. When I saw that was the case, I was shocked.
Right.
Absolutely shocked.
Yes, we were too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Tell us about what is the current situation with the funding in the state budget.
All right, yeah, the current situation is our funding for this year from the state was $150,000, which is half of our operating budget.
Given what you do, that is unbelievable that it's that small.
Well, thank you. I agree. I think we are a huge bang for the buck.
I don't know how much you make, but I think you're underpaid.
Not much. I'm just kidding.
You make less than the new basketball coach, let's put it that way.
Yes, but you know, what we do, basically our funding is fairly simple. We get money from this, at least since 2006, from the state.
Mm-hmm.
But half of our current operating budget was $150,000. That has, as you mentioned, is up for elimination under the governor's proposed budget. The rest of our money comes from registration fees, which currently we keep at about $10 a child. in our state, and we'd like to keep it at that, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I would like to keep it at that, and the board of directors, I believe, would like to keep it at that, as well. One thing, we're a needs-based organization. We want no school to not participate because of, they can't afford it. In fact, every year, there are many schools that we waive the registration fee for,
mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that I tell some people a registration fee is less than one football helmet for a school.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we understand that it's a tough economic time. You know, you still got to get your kids to these tournaments. It takes buses. It takes lunches. It takes, you know, teacher time. And by the way, one thing I mentioned about the coaches at these schools, they don't get paid to coach. You know, they're doing it because they love science, too.
Sure.
These are teachers, or and sometimes in cases, parents at these schools that give just unimaginary amount of time to these students and after-school programs and don't get paid a cent for it. But back to the budget situation, and then we also have private donors, which we're really we're actually obviously going to have to start putting a real emphasis on. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and so we are a you know tax deductible donation organization. But so the situation is right now we're eliminated. We do have a bill that has been introduced in the House Bill 288, and it is a bill to reinstate North Carolina Science Olympiad funding. We ask, you know, one thing you can do.
Specifically that bill?
Specifically.
Okay.
House Bill 288.
Mm-hmm.
You can specifically call your representative and let them know that you support House Bill 288. That would be great. And the other way is if, you know, I'm not sure exact numbers, but I know there's over 7,000 science, technology, engineering type companies in our state. Companies that, you know, they make their money with science.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they need to get involved. And I'm not just talking about our organization, but science, technology, engineering companies, organizations, researchers, pharmaceutical, everything in our states, biotechnology, mm-hmm. these that are going to be the economic engines of our future in our state need to get involved in public education, need to get involved in organizations like ours that are out there, grassroots, trying to get students interested in science. They need to get involved. And so one organization they can be involved in, obviously I'm biased, mine, you know, mm-hmm. but more than anything, I'd like to see all these companies get involved. A couple of years ago at Chapel Hill, actually, I did a study with Gail Jones, who actually does a nanotechnology project, and we interviewed about 1,000 seniors in this area, the Chapel Hill area, and less than 10% of them had ever had any interactions with a scientist or a researcher. We're talking about it, you know, we're in an area with the highest abundance of PhDs, researchers that you can imagine.
Sure.
And our schools aren't being impacted by that at all.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one, that's what I would, I guess a plea is get involved.
Yeah.
You know, get involved somehow, get involved in a school, get involved in an organization. If it's money, great. If not, volunteer. We have a lot of great, you know, Time Warner Cable's doing a great job now. They've done it, started a program called Connect a Million Minds, and all of their philanthropy now is going towards STEM. And it's making a difference. And we need more companies to do that. We need more companies, especially that are interested in science and engineering and all these things, you know, that I continue to say is they need to get involved. And if it's not money, it's volunteer. You know, get involved, get out there, interact with students, get them excited, let them know what you do, let them know why it's important, because
mm-hmm.
it is important. Every job in the future is going to matter with science, technology, problem solving, critical thinking, the things that we're pushing. This is what we need in schools, and they're not going to get it unless we really get involved.
Absolutely. Well, what's the outlook? I mean, if the budget goes through as proposed and your state funding does get eliminated, what is that going to mean for North Carolina Science Olympiad? Are you going to be able to continue?
We will be able to continue. One thing the board of directors has done a great job of is being fiscally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a good job of making sure that we had a reserve that would keep us moving, keep us funded if this was to happen.
Sure.
And so we're going to be okay for a while.
You good. Know?
We're going to be okay for a while. And we've, like I said, we're switching our emphasis, you know, and it may not be state funding. Everybody's hurting. You know, it's a low time right now, and we understand changes have to be made. budgets have to be cut. We would have liked to done our share and, you know, lost 25% of our budget as opposed to 100%.
Indeed.
But at the same time, you know, the board of directors and I are going to really focus more on private type donations.
Well, obviously that pushes you to reinvent the organization right. under a new model, right?
Exactly. You know, and that's mm-hmm. that's our focus. Is we really got to look at our funding model mm-hmm. and decide what's important. Like I told you a minute ago, we really don't want to raise fees. You know, sure. that's one way we could go about it is we could raise fees. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not do that. In fact, I'd rather Olympiad be free to schools that want to participate. I'd like to think that we can go out and get enough companies that are excited about what we do. Mm-hmm. If they come out and see us, they'll be sold. But if they'll see what we're doing, the difference we're making, it could be free to every kid in North Carolina that wants to participate. That's what I'd like to see.
That's how it should be.
You know?
It really should.
And not that it's free, but it's just we're investing in the future.
I mean, $10 a kid is not, right. you know, insurmountable for practically anyone, you would think.
No, that's right.
But, you know, there are people, lots of people out there, that's a significant amount of money to spend
right.
on something that could be seen as not a necessity.
Right, right. And
so, you know, making it free would be terrific. And I think that there are lots of companies in this within the sound of our voice.
That's right.
Which,
if you're listening.
In terms of the airways, is not very far.
Right.
That could handle your needs, you know, boom.
That's
write
right.
a check.
That's right.
Handle
and,
it.
You know, part of it is, as I mentioned to you earlier, a lot of our job is service. And so we work, you know, my job and even the board of directors, we are so busy running our program that we don't get time to get out and talk with companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, and that's one thing I would like to see that I'm able to do more of, but
sure.
it's hard to get out. And so it's unfortunate, but a lot of the companies in this area do not know we exist, even yet today, even though we're as huge as we are and as large as we are. I told you earlier, we're third in the nation in participation in North Carolina, the Science Olympiad is across the nation.
And that's just amazing. It really is.
Yeah, and most companies don't know we exist. And so we got to do a better job of that. You know, but at the same time, it's hard because we are serving so many students and so many schools that we just don't have time to do it.
Sure.
We're just, you know, we have so much on our plate mm-hmm. that to get out and do that other so important thing, we just haven't figured out how to do that. And we're working towards solving that problem.
Oh, I'm sure you'll solve that problem. Because, you know, it's too important a program, you know, in the short term and the long term
right.
to just let it evaporate.
Right.
That would be so short-sighted,
right.
Along with many other areas where that kind of thinking is going on today.
That's right. And you know, we've really got to decide, and, you know, each of us have to decide what's really important. What should the priority be? You know, we're, you know, whether you're a representative in the General Assembly or you're a CEO of a company, you've got to decide what's really important, what the priority should be. If you're a principal at a school, you know, what's the priority should be in my school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that education should be high on the list, and specifically science education.
Mm-hmm. You would certainly think so,
yeah.
given what we're faced with.
Exactly.
But we're seeing it on the large scale, too, that kind of, you know, to me, no-brainer type thinking is not necessarily what's carrying the day these days.
No, that's right. That's unfortunate, but we know the importance of scientific literacy.
Mm-hmm.
We know the importance of the issues that we face tomorrow, and we need to be preparing our students to solve the problems of tomorrow, and we got some big problems on the horizon. We got some big problems now that aren't on the horizon. They're already here with us that we need to be working on and solving them.
Very true.
And, you know, obviously Olympiad doesn't solve all these issues, but it gets kids thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It gets kids to problem solve. It gets kids to think critically about things. It gets kids to defend, you know, what they think and what they believe. You know, it gets them to engage in science at a level that they normally won't do in school. They can really go in depth. And it's the kind of things that we want our students doing. And so I do hope that, and I think, I'm very positive about the future of Olympiad.
Good.
I'm, you know, very encouraged. You know, since the elimination came from the governor's budget, we've had a lot of encouragement. We've had a lot of people get up and rally and support. We have a lot of friends, and I'm very optimistic about the future.
So are you getting the word out to the thousands of participants?
Yes.
That they need to step up and maybe make that phone call?
Yes.
To their state representative?
Yes, we are doing that as much as we can through our email list and through our tournaments and through our ceremonies and everything. We're letting people know. Call.
Through support. Radio shows, maybe?
And radio shows, that's right. We're going anywhere we can to let people know.
Well, that's great, and we'll certainly keep an eye on how things go with this, and make sure you get over the hump.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, Jason, you've been executive director since 2006, so 5 years now. So pretty good track record. And I understand you were involved with the organization, even several years prior to that.
Right.
So you've been around for a pretty good little while. Do you have any kind of anecdotes or success stories you can share, that kid from O2 who's now the CEO of the drug company or, anything along those lines?
Yeah, there's so many. There's not one or two that I could come up with. I was thinking, there's so many kids. I mean, just last week, somebody came in my office who's in Michigan now, and she's actually getting her PhD and MD and University of Michigan, and she had actually heard that the funding was cut up in Michigan, and she came down and she sat in my office. She just told me how important Olympiad was to her life, and I was actually at a tournament a month before, and her mom came down to me, and I didn't know who she was. I never met her mom before, but her mom was there and standing with tears in her eyes and told me who she was. She had come all the way through Olympiad, and middle, high school. I knew her in middle and high school. And then came to NC State University as a Park Scholar, finished in 3 years. Now it's at Michigan doing that. And another guy I'm thinking about is in Kinston. His name is Sidney Hill. He is a great success story. He got involved in science because of Science Olympiad. And the end of his senior year, which was in May, this past May, he was actually highlighted by the chancellor at graduation. And he sent me the letter that he had written to the chancellor, which in the letter he made very explicit the importance of Science Olympiad and that he would not be at NC State, nor would he be in science if it wasn't for Olympiad. He took a fellowship at California Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And doing, I can't even say the names of the stuff that he's doing there, but it sounds very impressive. And so it's story after story. In fact, the one girl that came down, she's a graduate student, so you know how money's like for a graduate student. But this week I got a $200 check in the mail from her just saying, we just want you to know we support. The stories go on. The student that I have right now who's a student assistant, I met him in sixth grade in Charlotte. He won quite a few national medals. It was because our top two middle schools and top two high schools at the state tournament move on to the national tournament. Mm-hmm. And he moved all the way through Olympiad and came to NC State. A lot of kids come to NC State that are involved in Olympiad.
Sure.
And he's now my student assistant, getting a degree in architecture. And actually my assistant, Kelly, who's the other full-time person, she's been Olympiad 17 years. And she came out, went to school design at NC State, and has continued to volunteer and eventually was able to hire her. So, I mean, there's millions of stories that I could tell you, but the anecdotal, mm-hmm, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're working trying to get more hard facts to let the right people know.
Sure, but you should have both the facts, but you should be also, as you go, kind of collecting those success stories too, because those really do speak to people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not a weekend goes by that I don't hear some great success story, mm-hmm, about how, mm-hmm, Olympiad made a difference in the life of a child and influenced their career, influenced their decision about where they're going to college.
So why are we quibbling about $150,000 out of the state budget? I mean, it's ridiculous.
A good question, Arnie.
It is ridiculous.
It's a good question.
Have you had an opportunity to speak to, for example, the governor herself?
I have not had the opportunity to speak to the governor. I would love the opportunity. Maybe, mm-hmm, we could get on a radio show.
Yeah.
We could talk to her. We do have also a lot of friends in the General Assembly. Better, obviously, they're also co-sponsors on the bill, House Bill 288. By the way, if you just Google North Carolina General Assembly, and you can go in there and just Google, and there's a search, you can do House 288 and find out who the sponsors are. But we've talked to a lot of representatives. There is a lot of support out there for us. We've got to get it out of the committee now. Mm-hmm. And so we need to call. Everybody needs to call and let them know. Get that bill out of appropriations and get it up for a vote. And so,
well, that's what amazes me is that, you know, your organization and the Science, Mathematics, and Technology Center, mm-hmm. That we've been, you know, they're a friend of the show. We've had Sam Houston on the show a couple of years ago. They do some outstanding work. A little slightly different situation because they've got a little bit more of a bed of corporate support already established, and that's kind of where they came from. But they're faced with major cuts as well. Where has the vision gone in this state? You know, this state has always been, thrived on that very vision. That's what got the Research Triangle Park going.
That's right.
You know, that's what we've all succeeded on for so many decades, and that's what has made North Carolina such a special place.
Right.
That people want to come here, and want to come here, and when they get here, they want to stay here.
Right.
Because it's so great. Are we losing that? Are we in danger of losing that?
I hope not. I hope we're not. I think with enough voices, with enough of us people that do care.
I'd rather see my taxes get raised a little bit than see programs like yours go by the wayside.
Yeah. I mean, if we understand the importance of what's at stake here,
mm-hmm.
and we let our leaders know the importance of what's at stake here, then we can continue to be what we've been, which is a hotbed for science, which is a state that moved ahead in biotechnology and nanotechnology, RTP, mm-hmm. and so many forward-thinking moves. We don't need to go backwards. We don't want to go backwards.
Right.
It's important to the economic future of our state.
I mean, you know, perhaps an organization like yours can't, you know, you can't quantify, you know, the number of jobs you've created or anything on that level. But it's still like I say, it's a no-brainer that you are contributing in a major way mm-hmm. to the educational success of the state and ultimately, long-term, to the economic engine.
Right. You know, it's important, I think. When the governor decided to eliminate us, I don't know how those decisions get made. You know, I would like to think that before we're cut that we would be evaluated. You know?
Sure.
And I would like to think that everyone that receives state funding in some way is evaluated for their effectiveness.
Absolutely.
And what kind, mm-hmm. you know, so we're making good, informed decisions and, mm-hmm. You know, not blanket cuts, you know, because it seems like a good idea because we need to cut. You know, obviously, we're in a tight position here in our state. I think it's a $4 billion shortfall. There has to be tough decisions made. Mm-hmm. When you look at $150,000 in the grand scheme of things, it's a little insignificant. But at the same time, I want to know that our leaders are doing due diligence.
Do you think some of these programs are getting singled out in some way? Is there some political spin that I'm not picking up on here? Not to put you on the spot.
I wish I knew the answer to that, but I'm not privy to that kind of inside information.
Sure.
But I mean, from my look, it just, you know, it was just a decision to cut any pass through nonprofit funds from the state budget.
I
think that may have totaled up to about $14 million again, which we're $150,000 of. So, mm-hmm. But you know, it's pretty much a cut there. But again, the decision making still, you're not going line item and deciding this was a whole, you know, portion cut out that included, as you mentioned, the North Carolina Science, Mathematics, and Technology Education Center, which does a lot of great work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other great programs as well were in there.
Yeah.
I think Kids for Voting was in there and some other great, what I believe organizations doing great public good that are really important for the future. So I wish I knew the answers to how those decisions are made. Because I would like to influence them a little differently. But
sure.
At the same time, I think it's important, you know, most important that we know we do have a voice and that we need to let our leaders know, our representatives know the importance of this program, no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Well, we will certainly keep an eye on the situation and report back to our audience about
how things go. We appreciate that.
Jason, you, as we've discussed, you've been involved with the organization for quite some time now. How did you get involved with North Carolina Science Olympiad?
Well, I used to teach in the eastern part of the state in a little school called Farmville Central High School, and taught there for a couple years before I decided I was going to go back and do some different type of work. And I ended up at a place called the Center for Mathematics and Science Education at East Carolina University. Mm-hmm. And during my first year there, I got a letter from a guy named Philip Dale, who was then the regional director, or the state director, asking if it would be possible to do a regional tournament at East Carolina University. This was in 1999. And so I'd never heard of Olympiad. I was a science teacher. You know, I'd been involved in science education since 1995. And so shockingly enough, I'd never heard of it, but I said, sure, I'll meet. And so some gentlemen came down, Philip, one of them, Manly Midget, another one, that's a strange name, but he's a great science leader in our state, and another guy named Bill Himes, and they showed me the model of Olympiad. And I could see very quickly that it was an organization that was doing a lot of good. Mm-hmm. And wasn't near as big as it is now, of course, but I saw the potential in the organization. And so I agreed that I would run a regional at East Carolina, and did the first regional in 2000. It's still going today, that same regional.
Great.
We did the 11th year this year. But that's how I got involved. I was a regional director there for a couple years volunteering. And then I got a job at UNC Chapel Hill, where I started my PhD program. At the same time, I got more involved in the state office, working with Philip Dale at NC State, and just traveling to all the regional tournaments. Around 2005, Philip Dale was ready to retire, step down, and so I guess kind of I was just in the right place at the right time. Loved the organization, loved what it was about, and decided to do everything I could to help support it. And so basically took over around 2005 before our partnership started in 2006. It was a transition period there. Mm-hmm. So pretty much I was a volunteer for the first 5 years, just doing everything I could to support the organization. And the directorship just sort of landed in my lap. I didn't ask for it, but I'm thankful that it did land in my lap.
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful job it must be.
It's really
despite
great.
All those current stresses.
Oh, this is the tough part. But the people that I've got to meet through the organization, you know, from the top, the board of directors, all the way down to the coaches and the students, you know, I'm known all across the state. Where I go, people know me. And that's a great feeling to have so many friends and so many people that really do care about science, but also they're just great people.
Sure.
I mean, just it's a terrific job. It's a terrific opportunity I have every day, every weekend almost, I'm on the road. That's mm-hmm. the bad thing mm-hmm. because I have to leave my family. I have five kids but my own.
My goodness.
Yeah, so that's tough on my wife. But she does a phenomenal job. But the relationships that I'm able to develop through this organization have been phenomenal.
That's great. So tell us a little bit more. I mentioned earlier that you are working on your PhD and expect to complete that later this year.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I'm trying to.
I mean, I'm sure it's something you haven't been able to devote as much time to.
Exactly.
It as
that's
you
the
wish.
Problem. Yeah, I've got to finish this year. But I'm getting to. Hopefully,
before they cut the darn funding.
That's right. Hopefully, I'm going to finish the PhD in educational psychology, measurement and evaluation. Specifically, I'm interested in motivation.
Okay.
And I'm actually looking at science achievement, something called the Third International Math and Science Study, looking at American U.S. eighth graders. And looking at a few different constructs and their importance to achievement, one being their self-confidence in science, another being the autonomy, which is probably the piece I'm most interested in, because I believe the more students feel in control of their own education, the more that they feel like that they are making decisions in the process, that they're not like a pawn being moved on a chessboard, that they can actually follow their own interest and have some control over what they're learning, that they're going to be much more motivated to learn science.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, of course, the other construct is looking at their attitudes towards science. And their importance. One thing I'll mention that's a really surprise that I found in the study so far is it seems that students' self-confidence in science, every level of increase of self-confidence they have, the lower their achievement is, which is very
wow.
it does not make a lot of sense in the data right now. I do have a lot of theories on why that may be. One is that students are being told they're much better at science than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so, and it's different in other countries, where in other countries it is the lower their self-confidence, the better they are at science, which is an interesting theory or interesting finding as well. And so I'm writing the results section now.
Okay.
So that's why that's in my head.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in how students learn, why they're interested, and what makes them tick, what makes them decide to go in certain areas.
Well, I've heard some statistics recently that young people today, just in terms of self-esteem and whether they think that as an individual that they're a very important person in some fashion,
right,
that those numbers have gone up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
With the rise of, it seems like, rise of social networking and the internet.
It might
seems to be play a lot into it. But that their achievement is dropping.
That's right.
At the same time.
So that's the question. If we're looking at this data was 2007 data, so fairly recent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it say if student self-confidence is high but their achievement is actually low? And what does that mean for education and how we teach our children?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I have any of the answers or all the answers for that at all. But I do know that we still need to focus on what's important in a kid's life. And, you know, that is that they're prepared and we prepare them the best that we can in schools, you know, and not in a false way. We don't want kids to have a false view of their skills and their talents and what their achievement level is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd like to have those things matching.
Well, especially when in so many other countries right now, those things are being so heavily emphasized.
Exactly.
And the competition is so stiff.
Exactly. And when you look at data from other countries, it's honestly a little discouraging when you see the results of American students, specifically at around age 15 or 16, where, you know, out of, you know, 40 top developing countries, we're somewhere in the middle of the pack, probably around 25, 26,
right,
in math and science areas. And so we need to change that. And we're not going to change it by decreasing funding, I tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. That's I was about to make that very point that, you know, as we've discussed, the investment in North Carolina Science Olympiad is so minuscule.
Right.
I mean, that is $150,000 is a tiny amount of money in the larger scheme of things.
It's a tiny amount of money, but it's a huge amount of money to us.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the thing. You know, it's a tiny amount of money to in the grand scheme of things, but to our organization's half our operating budget. And so it's extremely important.
And
to us.
You know, what that tells me without doing real evaluation is that you are operating that organization at a very high level of efficiency.
Yeah, we have to.
You know, you're spending our tax dollars wisely and well.
Yes.
You know, and that should not be discouraged.
No, and you know, We take a lot of pride in that. We take a lot of pride in operating a very lean organization that is doing as much as possible with what we have. And we've been doing it for a long time. You know, prior to state funding, we were doing it with even less money.
Sure.
And, you know, what scares me, or not just doesn't scare me, but what excites me is what we could do if we had more funding. You know, and that's what we're
looking
at.
What could you do if you had more funding?
I have such vision, you know, of what we could do with more money. You know, we have 65 events. You know, I don't want to add to what teachers are already having to do in the classroom. They need support. And we could provide so much more as far as professional development, curriculum support. We could do so much more in the summers. You know, we could go out into some of these areas, and we've done this when we have grant funds. But we do some awesome summer camps. And we do great new team institutes for teens across the state. You know, to be able to free up some of, you know, my time and some other people's time with just administrative tasks, you know, if that would be another source that we could move into. But again, you know, we would move into areas that currently we're not very successful in. We could continue to try to build more tournaments. You know, I would like, it takes a lot to run these tournaments, these regional tournaments. You know, I still feel bad that our regional directors are putting 300 or 400 hours in and they don't get a dime for it. you know, they deserve recognition in some way. I'm not saying that we have to give them a full-time position or anything, but I would like to see, I mean, in my vision, we would have, you know, offices all across the state, you know, where teams could come and, you know, work and get ideas and be developed. And, you know, we could move into more events in a box, or even things like going to Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs, give them science programs for these kids.
Sure.
You know, there's so much out there to be done, mm-hmm. you know, and kids are, you know, a lot of times kids get out of school at 2-3 o'clock and their parents don't, you know, they're going somewhere between those hours of 3 and 5. We have the stuff. We just don't have a way to get it out there and train people, whether they be their counselors in Boys and Girls Club or whatever it may be that they're involved in during that time. But there's more stuff for our resources on our website. By the way, sciencenc.com is our website. It's a great place to go find information. Go to our event resources, and you can see a lot of our events. We have them up on video and on YouTube. If you Google us, you can see a lot of some of the things that I've talked about today related to our events, to see kind of the excitement that's out there. We're also on Facebook. So I think everybody's on Facebook now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you can fan our page, too. We're North Carolina Science Olympiad. So fan us and In Vivo Live.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And with that, our time is just about up, Jason All Painter, right.
Well,
Executive
thank you so
Director
much,
of North Carolina Science Olympiad. Call your representative, your state representative, and tell them to support House Bill 288 to save state funding for the Olympiad.
That's right.
And we encourage everybody to do that. And we appreciate you listening to Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community, here on volunteer-powered WCOM, LPFM, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And if you like this program and want to support it and the radio station, which we also operate on a very modest budget, and completely through listener donations and underwriting. So if you would like to provide that kind of support to this radio station, we would very much appreciate it. And join us again next time for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science community. Thanks a lot.